This is HPR episode 2967 for Tuesday, the 17th of December 2019. Today's show is entitled Wrestling As You Like It episode 2. It is hosted by The Dude and is about 27 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Wrestling As You Like It episode 2.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Okay, here's the dude, and here is the second episode of Wrestling As You Like It. Okay, so after listening to the community news, I kind of wanted to change a little bit of what I had planned. Before I had planned was to cover some events from over the course of the month and the pro wrestling promotions that I follow, but I had to redo things since I have to explain some things, especially since a lot of people that listen to the podcast are from the UK and the systems are kind of different. So I figure I would take this episode to really explain how American wrestling works, and also a little bit of background of the promotions that I watch and that I will be covering. I will say that the ones that I cover, or at least plan on covering, all broadcast their stuff on YouTube or the Fight Network, and it's all free, it's all online, so there isn't really any, worries about what channel something on or whether you have this channel in your cable package. It's just whether you have internet or not. Now, first things first, I think this part would be totally obvious. The top promotion in the United States and also the top promotion in the world is the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, which started out as Capital Wrestling Corporation when it was part of the National Wrestling Alliance, which was, at the time, the governing body of all wrestling. Now it's just a smaller promotion that Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins bought. And yes, that is one of the, well, the NWA is one of the promotions that I plan on covering frequently throughout this podcast as it goes. But WWE went from Capital Wrestling Corporation, and they had a falling out with the National Wrestling Alliance when they wanted to get the belt off of, the National Wrestling Alliance wanted to get the belt off of Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, the original Nature Boy. Pretty much Ric Flair's gimmick and whole shtick was pretty much copied from Buddy Rogers, but also done more at 110% because it's Ric Flair. But Buddy Rogers was extremely popular in the Northeast, which was Capital Wrestling's territory, was in like the Northeastern United States. So everything from like Maryland north up to Maine was Capital Wrestling Corporation's territory, which is what they called the promotions then, because how the National Wrestling Alliance set everything up, each promotion had their own set up area and territory that they would operate in, and nobody would encroach on each other's turf. which that all changed in the 80s, and we'll get to that when pretty soon. Anyway, so after they broke away from the NWA, they became the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, and they still just operated in the Northeast. They had Buddy Rogers as their first world champion by creating a fictional tournament in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which they also did to crown the first Intercontinental Champion, which is a another title that's still used today by the WWE. But, yeah, so they made up a tournament so that way they could legitimize Buddy Rogers as a world champion. So they became the third league at the time. There were three leagues. You had the National Wrestling Alliance. Then you had the AWA, which folded in 1993 and was bought by the WWE. And you also had the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Now, Vince McMahon Sr., who is the father of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the owner of the WWE today, so Vince Jr., he sold the company to his son in the 80s, and his son decided to take the promotion national and pretty much raided the talent from all the NWA territories until one by one they pretty much all shut down, and the NWA was pretty much a former shell of itself for a very, very long time. And it's now kind of, I mean, there's a little bit of resurgence every now and there, but true, it's never been the way it was. It's not like, you know, the top promotion, how it was back in the 40s through the, you know, mid 80s. But, I was going to say, that time, when Vince Kennedy McMahon, Vince Jr., bought the company from his dad, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, he shortened it to the World Wrestling Federation. And then, after a lawsuit with the, the World Wildlife Fund, they changed their name to World Wrestling Entertainment. Why they chose that and not went back to the moniker of Worldwide Wrestling Federation, you know, the WWWF. But then again, I guess WWE rolls off the tongue better than WWWF. But anyway, they pretty much became the top promotion by buying TV slots and raiding everybody's talent, especially when it got to the point where one of the NWA territories at the time, Jim Crockett Promotions, was pretty much kind of doing the same to compete with the WWF, which is now WWE. Actually, I'm just going to say WWE, so that way I don't have to get things confused. But anyway, they compete with the WWE. Jim Crockett Promotions bought a lot of failing NWA territories to have itself be national, but it ended up becoming, you know, bankrupt, and it was bought by Ted Turner, and that company became WCW, which was the WWE's main competition from then on. Pretty much from the late 80s to the till like 2001, when WCW folded and was bought by WWE. So WWE, the top dog, top promotion in wrestling today. Although they do have competition in Mexico and in Japan, because New Japan Pro Wrestling is so huge in Japan. And same with CMLL and AAA in Mexico. And was going to say after that? Where was I going? And, but when it comes to the States, WWE is the top promotion. However, recently, a former WWE talent, Cody Rhodes, him with a famous tag team that that has performed in Japan with great acclaim, Ring of Honor, which is a slightly bigger promotion in the States. But not as big as WWE. They came together with the son of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars and created their own wrestling promotion, AEW. And people might see that as to growing as in direct competition against WWE. So it's kind of like having another WCW. But anyway, with that being said, any promotion outside the WWE is considered by, in general, to be independent promotions, although that is debatable. The way how I describe it is that some people think some promotions, and I am in this category, that some promotions are a little bit too big just because to be called independent. As like an independent promotion, to me, they're a little bit higher than that. They're a higher caliber, and I consider those to be like Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact. They all have TV deals. They all have some sort of like corporate thing, and they're not like your neighborhood friendly wrestling promotion. So that being said, despite me not agreeing with the fact that anything not WWE is indie, I'm still going to call it indie just for the sake of simplicity. And so far, AEW may be the top independent promotion in the United States due to rating Ring of Honor and New Japan's talent, and also talent from other organizations such as the WWE itself and a few guys from Impact Wrestling, which used to be TNA Wrestling, which also used to be part of the NWA back in the early days of the promotion. Because for a while, after WCW left the NWA, the NWA seems to have a main promotion that builds up, and then they break off, and then the NWA has to start over again. But now the NWA, as opposed to being a governing body, it is now its own promotion. Which is probably for the better for the organization. Now, pretty much how American wrestling works, you have the WWE as the main promotion, and you have wrestlers that go to wrestling school. They wrestle in the indies to get experience, and hopefully one day they get into the WWE. Although that might change depending on how big AEW and how successful AEW is going to be, or any other smaller wrestling promotion, because wrestling's more popular recently now than it has been for a while. We're kind of digging out of a down period. So, and also with the internet, you don't need necessarily a TV deal to showcase your wrestling to a your wrestling product to a national audience with things like YouTube, the Fight Network, Twitch, or many numerous streaming services. So it's kind of getting back to pre-1980s, before the WWE went national, to the point where you have a whole bunch of different promotions where wrestlers can go to work and still make, you know, a decent living. Now, we're not necessarily at, like, a boom period, but it's growing, so hopefully it might get to a boom period and not just burst before its full potential happens. Now, that being said, each promotion has its own style of wrestling. I'd like to really get into this, but in detail, but I probably won't be the best person to really explain like different styles of professional wrestling. For the sheer fact that I'm just a fan and a wannabe wrestling journalist. So I'm not necessarily an expert. I recommend going to the YouTube channel Dave Knows Wrestling, because he has really good videos of explaining different styles of wrestling, including New Japan Strong Style, All Japan's King's Road Style, the WWE style wrestling, different styles of independent wrestling, and even like British wrestling. I think he has like multiple videos of like the UK style of wrestling, because England has their own style of wrestling, which I believe is more groundhold oriented, as opposed to like in Mexico, Lucha Libre, which is more like flips and aerial attacks. Now, but in general, you have the Japanese style is more hard-hitting and realistic. The WWE style is more showy. The independent style is even more flashier than WWE, but more focused on the wrestling and the matches, as opposed to like backstage storylines like WWE. And then you have the National Wrestling Alliance today, which is bringing back the old Southern wrestling style, which is kind of like more ground-oriented, such as the British style, but yet it's also very brawling, and the storytelling is done in the ring as opposed to like backstage. And like I said before, if you go to Mexico, it's Lucha Libre, which is more flips, a lot of showmanship, a lot of masked wrestlers. And in Lucha Libre, like when it comes to like masked wrestling, a lot of cases, the identity of the wrestlers is extremely protected. And which is why in Lucha Libre, a big like thing when it comes to like a match is a mask versus mask match, which the loser has to remove his mask and reveal to people who he is. Which is why I'm excited for a match between Karistico and Gran Guerrero, because they're kind of leading up to a mask versus mask match. Now, granted, we know who Karistico is due to him working under as the original Sin Cara in WWE, and also working as the original Mystico outside of the WWE. So we know who he is, but I'm not sure if he's been unmasked before, so it'd be interesting to see how he looks. And then with Gran Guerrero, no one knows who he is. They know he's Ultimo Guerrero's son, but that's about it. So it'll be really interesting if he gets unmasked. And when it comes to unmasking, it's usually like the wrestler's going to wrestle as without his mask and as himself, or he might be changing gimmicks and put on a different mask and be a different character. And then if the person's not a masked wrestler, then they bet their hair and get their head shaved in a humiliating fashion. But that is a big thing in Lucha Libre. It's really, really interesting, especially since there's the mysteriousness of who's under the mask. And those matches seem to kind of be more important than title matches, where in the States, it's the title matches that are more important, as opposed to, like, special stipulation wager matches. Like, title matches might have special stipulations, or if, like, a grudge match, like, between two wrestlers that don't like each other in the whole universe of pro wrestling, not like in real life, although sometimes wrestlers don't like each other in real life and it spews over into the wrestling world, such as Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart. Those two did not get along, and so it made their pro wrestling feud, like on TV feud, more realistic, because those two guys literally didn't like each other. But usually you have like the babyface, the good guy, versus the heel, who's the bad guy. And if they have a long feud going, and if it's like a very, very good, important match between the two, as in to like, hey, let's settle this, as opposed to, you know, two wrestlers going for the championship, that might be a little bit more important if the storytelling that is being told in the ring or outside of the ring is very, very compelling. But, yeah, this is really rambling, unfortunately, but I think I might have covered things more. Be free to mention some things in the comments with any other questions. I'll try to answer them the best I can. And thinking next month, I'm going to... Well, thinking next month, I'm going to do like a review of the NWA's pay-per-view that's this month, Into the Fire. And maybe also see if I can answer more questions, keep people up to date on different wrestling promotions that I watch. Like I said, the main ones I watch is Capital Wrestling, not to be confused with Capital Wrestling Corporation, which became the WWE. Capital Wrestling is a independent promotion, like a legit independent promotion, despite them having like a TV show on the internet. They don't really do, like, as far as I understand, they don't really do set contracts, and they're pretty small. So therefore, I believe they fall under as an indie promotion. But anyway, they are out of, like, New York City and New Jersey, and I follow them due to the fact that I like a lot of the talent that's there, such as Colby Carino, who is the son of a legend in the business, Steve Carino. He is a legend in the States since he wrestled for Paul Heyman's ECW. And he also used to have... he's also a former champion for the National Wrestling Alliance during a part where they were in a weird spot. It was when the promotion was pretty much, like, trying to recover from falling off of its perch. But you have that. You have a couple other wrestlers that aren't really that big, but people would probably know them. You have Homicide from TNA that's there. He's also wrestling from the National Wrestling Alliance as well. And this one person that's just, as far as I know, hasn't really worked for any bigger promotions. I think Capital is probably the biggest, but I could be wrong on that, and that is Darius Carter. To me, Darius Carter is really, like, the ultimate bad guy wrestler, I think. As in, like, he is extremely cocky, and the only way he can win is cheat. So he definitely plays that bad guy role to a T, and it's great. But there's that. And when, if I'm able to keep up on it, because following two promotions, such as it's kind of difficult, you know. Like I said, I follow mainly the NWA and Capital Wrestling, but I also try to follow CMLL, but that's going to be hard because CMLL is, well, A, it's not only the world's oldest wrestling promotion that is still here in existence, it's also located in Mexico. So there is a language barrier, and if I really have to pay attention to get what's kind of going on, see what the feuds are. I have to go to like different blogs that explain what's going on due to the fact that I don't speak Spanish, unfortunately, but I do like their product and how the wrestling matches are. It's a real excitement seeing like a lucha match. So that being said, hopefully I can keep everybody updated on that. Maybe also throw in some stuff like from wrestling's history and past into there. And I don't know, maybe also taking suggestions from people listening to this. So anyway, this is the dude signing out. Thank you guys for listening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.